Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5:30. I'm Ryan Brawley. Look at today's headlines. The International Policing Unit within the PSNI have today arrested a man wanted in the Republic. A Donegal TD has told the Dáil the government is hoarding over €178 million. Unions representing ambulance workers have hit out at what they say is disrespect from the HSE, and the need to provide infrastructure to the south of the River Swilly in Letterkenny is being highlighted. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we will have a full update of all the sport with Mark Gallagher at around a quarter to six. But first, the International Policing Unit within the PSNI have today arrested a man wanted in the Republic. The 67-year-old is wanted to stand trial for offences of sexual assault and rape, which are alleged to have happened in Donegal. The operation was undertaken in partnership with Irish authorities. Donal Kavanagh reports.
The man was detained today on an Irish extradition warrant in the Limavady area by officers attached to the PSNI's International Policing Unit. Sergeant Davey from the unit said today is another example of the PSNI working closely with An Garda Síochána to locate fugitives and bring them before the extradition courts. He continued that Northern Ireland is not a safe haven for any wanted persons trying to avoid arrest and the consequences of previous actions.
A Donegal TD has told the Dáil the government is hoarding over €178 million, which was raised through an EU scheme specifically intended to support people struggling with their energy bills. Deputy Pearse Doherty asked Minister Helen McEntee why the government is hoarding the money rather than using it for the purpose for which it was intended, which was to provide energy credits and other reliefs. Minister McEntee responded that the government is spending significantly more than that on targeted measures. Deputy Doherty wasn't satisfied with that response.
Why on under God are you not using the €178 million that's sitting there for the last 3 years that is specifically designed to be put back into the pockets of ordinary people to help them pay their electricity bill? Do you not understand what is happening out there in the real world, Minister?
Do you not understand that we have provided €750 million in the last month and a half alone directly to homeowners, directly to people who get into their car every day and go to work, directly to the businesses that transport food, all of the commodities around our country that bring our children to school? That's €750 million that hasn't come from nowhere. That is from our taxpayers, that's from our exchequer, that's from this government. So that decision has been taken. That's not on its own. That's on top of the direct supports that we have provided over recent years. If you look at the ERSRI Republic report in April, what they've said is the most effective supports.
Thank you.
The most effective supports are those targeting the least well off, and that is exactly what we are doing. We are targeting those who need our help the most.
Deputy
€750 million in the last month and a half.
Deputy Darling.
Unions representing ambulance workers have hit out at what they say is disrespect from the HSE over their salary scales and efforts to come to an agreement on pay. SIPCHU and Unite are continuing talks with HSE officials this evening in an attempt to resolve the dispute. Their warning today is the last chance to make progress before 72 hours of industrial action planned for next week. Outside the Labour Court earlier, SIPCHU spokesperson John McCamley said they're disappointed with how talks have gone so far.
After 2 days of negotiations, we're nearer a resolution. They feel that they're being disrespected by the HSE. They feel that the HSE hasn't taken aboard all the changes and modernisation that they've carried out over the last 15 years. And that general feeling of being unrespected has just grown over the last week.
The need to provide infrastructure to the south of the River Swilly in Letterkenny is being highlighted, with a local councillor saying there is huge scope for development in a balanced way. Councillor Jerry McMonagall believes if the area were zoned for urban development, it would make access to capital funding easier and would meet priorities identified by government and pave the way forward for more housing. Councillor McMonagall says developing the lands to the south of the Swilly makes sense on every level.
Well, what we're looking about is the Leck Road side of the River Swilly, which is, if you come in the need to be in a road heading into the retail parks, it would be the lands on your immediate left across the banks of the River Swilly. These are lands which have no infrastructure whatsoever. There's a great deficit on it, but there is plans and there is people willing to develop that side of the river. We have at the minute a massive road project underway, the Southern Relief Road, which goes adjacent adjacent to these lands. So it makes sense to invest in the infrastructure and to allow it then to develop and have a connection then with the town centre via a bridge over the Swilly, which would be all part of the development of that area.
And in terms of developing that area, you said if it was made or if it was zoned as an urban development area, that would make life a lot easier.
Yeah, and we, you know, the minister set out his stall there just recently and for urban designated zoning, that there would be capital grants available to help put in place the infrastructure to be needed, them lands to be developed, and that's what we need. So if we get the urban designation zoned to a development zone to that those particular lands, then that will enable us to be able to access large capital grant that will pave the way for us to put in the necessary water and sewage infrastructure that there's none of at the minute. And what that will do is it'll free the lands up for development, but it would also mean that the houses that would be built on those lands would be affordable, and it would also then give us a further access and to the town via the bridge over the Swilly.
Ishke Erin say they are working to restore water supply to customers in Crawley and surrounding areas following a burst to a trunk water main. The burst is impacting supply to some homes and businesses on the Narasa Regional Public Water Supply Scheme. It is expected that repairs will be complete by 8 p.m. tonight. A man found guilty of murdering his pregnant partner has called himself a monster. In probation statement, Stephen McCullough of Woodland Gardens in Lisburn says he doesn't remember feeling the need for Natalie McAnally to die in Lurgan, County Armagh in 2022. In sentencing hearings heard, he apologised to her family, but prosecutors say he still showed little insight into his actions. The 36-year-old will learn his prison term next month. The lack of progress in the relocation of families from Elm Park and Buncrana has been raised in the Dáil. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin again highlighted the fact that 9 families with defective concrete homes are living on a dangerous floodplain and should be allowed to relocate under the scheme. Urging Taoiseach Micheál Martin to speak to Housing Minister James Brown regarding a timeline for relocation, Deputy McLaughlin told the Dáil that the families are traumatised.
Taoiseach, we have an extraordinary situation at Elm Park, Buncrana in County Donegal, where you have 9 families who all are living in defective concrete block homes. Their homes have to be demolished, but they also are living on a dangerous floodplain. Ministers James Brown and Kevin Boxer-Morne and Minister Christopher O'Sullivan had been working before Christmas on a scheme to relocate the families. That was announced by Minister Brown before Christmas. We're nearly in June here, Taoiseach, and the families are absolutely traumatised. They're very concerned at parliamentary question responses that are very mealy-mouthed in their responses. The department officials in the Department of Housing need to wake up to this humanitarian crisis, and they need to present a reasonable scheme in cooperation with the families in those homes. They've waited far too long. They've waited for years, Taoiseach, for a solution. So I'm appealing to you to speak to those ministers and get this sorted out urgently.
I think he's been very responsive to these issues, and the fact that 3 ministers, Minister Morden and Minister Sullivan, went to visit and saw it firsthand. I will talk to the ministers in respect of the progression of such a scheme, if that's been committed to, and to see what the up-to-date position is.
Anxiety, stress, loneliness, suicide and depression are the main topics discussed by young people contacting Spunout's text support service. 250,000 conversations have been held through text about it in the last 5 years. More than a quarter of people reaching out to volunteers say they had nobody else to talk to. Delaney is a crisis volunteer with text about it and says there are many reasons people opt to message them.
The option of using WhatsApp makes it free, so there's that sort of ability to hide behind a screen in a way, but still show what you're going through without, you know, facing someone's facial expressions, their judgment, but also just the accessibility for some people, maybe if they're going through something where they're unable to get themselves out of bed even.
The North's Education Minister Paul Given celebrated a major milestone at the Struil Shared Education Campus today as the main structural works on site are now complete. Principals from the 6 Struil schools, project partners and community stakeholders attended a ceremony to mark the progress on the project. Cliona Dwyer has more.
The Struil campus will bring together 6 schools on the former Lissanelli Army Barracks site in Omagh. The Department of Education says it'll provide state-of-the-art shared facilities to support teaching and learning, sports and other educational activities while preserving the individual ethos and identity of each school. The planned opening of the campus remains on track for September 2028. Speaking at the event, Education Minister Paul Given said Struil represents a powerful commitment to shared education, bringing young people together in a modern, purpose-built environment that supports excellence in education through collaboration and cooperation.
A Dublin man wanted in Northern Ireland in connection with a gangland murder was accused in court today of being a significant figure in organised crime. Before the High Court today, Gardaí raised concerns about 44-year-old Jonathan Gill with an address on the Malahide Road in Clontarf being granted bail. Frank Greeney has more.
Jonathan Gill was arrested in Dublin last month. The warrant for his extradition to Northern Ireland relates to two alleged offences, the murder of gangland figure Robbie Lawler in Belfast and firearm possession. Ahead of his extradition hearing next month, he brought a bail application today. Detective Garda Robert Comerford objected to it, claiming he poses a flight risk. He relied on several factors, including the weight of the evidence, his alleged links to organised crime, and an allegation that he has access to substantial sums of money. The state also relied on an allegation that he previously obtained a genuine Irish passport under a false identity. Mr. Gill's parents have offered to put up €100,000 to secure bail for their son, and in making her case today, his barrister accused the state of failing to prove a real risk that he would flee. She also said much of the state's material is speculative, historical or untested. A decision will be made at a later date.
It is 18 minutes to 6 on Highland Radio. All the sport with Mark after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GA jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 here on Highland Radio, and Mark Gallagher is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. Good evening. We'll start with motorsport. Former World Rally Championship driver Chris Meek has confirmed to Highland Radio Sport that he will compete in the Donegal International Rally next month, his first rally in Ireland since 2008. The Tyrone native will race in a Toyota Yaris Rally 2 and will have Liam Regan on board as his navigator for the event, which starts on the third Friday of June. Chris is in the county this week as part of the test being run by the Toyota Gazoo Racing Team as they continue to develop the Rally 2 car for its Irish customer base. Liam Regan has experience of Donegal both driving and navigating, and competed last year with former World Junior Champion William Creighton. Speaking with Highland's Oisin Kelly at the conclusion of the Toyota test today, Chris Meek confirmed that he will be doing the Donegal Rally and will try his best to win in the county.
I never put the helmet on unless there's a chance of winning, so I think people know me by now for sure. Look, I don't underestimate it. Callum Devine is he's been solid as a rock and winning everything. His pace has been incredible. And look, I've been around the world and went to do national rallies, and guys who spend their lifetime in their home country doing the rallies year in, year out, the knowledge base they build up is incredible. And there's probably bits of stages they're working off muscle memory, or I'll have to explore it for the first time. So I'm under no illusions. These guys on their home terrain are incredibly quick. We seen the big battle last year when we had Hayden Padden, a guy I know well from the World Championship, and he struggled a bit with the pace, so I'm under no illusions. For sure, the objective is to try to win, but look, Callum's an incredible driver. All the other guys, I don't know all, the entry list is not published just, so I don't know who's all doing it, but for sure it's going to be a huge challenge, but that's what excites me about it. I'm an old dog now, but I still love a challenge here.
And there will be more from Chris Meek on the Score programme this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the lineup, former Harps skipper Keith Curran joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat to look ahead to the games for Finn Harps and Derry City this week. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on the new format for the National League third tier. And Highland's big match analyst Brendan Kilcoyne will join us to preview Donegal's trip to Kerry in the first round of the All-Ireland Series this Saturday. Moving on to soccer, the FA have confirmed they have now launched an investigation into Southampton after the club admitted to spying on rival sides this season. They've been thrown out of the Championship playoff final this week by the EFL, and Middlesbrough will now take on Hull at Wembley on Saturday for a place in the Premier League. And in another twist in the saga, it's understood Hull City will consider pursuing legal action if they lose that playoff final on Saturday. Partick Thistle host St Mirren in the first leg of the Scottish Premiership playoff tonight. After finishing second bottom in the Scottish Premiership, St Mirren are fighting to keep their top flight status, and Partick are pushing for promotion after achieving a second place finish in the Championship. Aston Villa's Morgan Rodgers has been named on the Europa League Player of the Season team after helping his team win the trophy. He's joined in the competition's best team by Emi Buendia, captain John McGinn and goalkeeper Emi Martinez, who it was revealed earlier on today broke his finger in the warm-up before their 3-0 win over Freiburg last night. Nottingham Forest's Morato and Igor Jesus have also been named on the team. Bohemians midfielder Dawson Devoy will join the Republic of Ireland senior squad for the first time next week. Devoy, who has represented Ireland at under 19 and under 21 level, will join the squad ahead of their friendly against Canada on June the 6th. Bohs have confirmed that their captain won't miss either of their league games next week against Shamrock Rovers or Sligo Rovers. In rugby, Robert Balakoon has been named in Ulster's team for tomorrow's Challenge Cup final against Montpellier in Bilbao. The winger has recovered from an elbow injury sustained in the Six Nations. Nick Timoney will captain the side in Bilbao in the absence of suspended skipper Ian Henderson. Rob Herring, Stuart McCluskey and Jacob Stockdale are also unavailable for that decider. Ulster head coach Richie Murphy believes his team have some unfinished business.
Last time was 2012. It's a long time waiting. It's nice to finally get there. I think from this group's point of view, with the rugby that we've played throughout the season, I think we feel like we've a little bit of unfinished business and maybe we can try and do something special this Friday.
Three Irish players have been picked on the Women's Six Nations Team of the Tournament. Captain Erin King, back row Aoife Wafter and centre Aoife Dalton have all been chosen after Ireland's best finish in the tournament since 2020. And finally, in horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall rides in France this evening. He'll be on Al Rifa in the Group 1 race at Longchamp. Dylan has been on board Al Rifa on all five of his wins to date. That's all from the Sports Desk for now, but I will be back just after the 7 o'clock news with the Score programme. Back to you, Ryan.
Thanks, Mark. And the weather, scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle will push northwards this evening, with some heavier falls possible in the Atlantic coastal parts. However, there will be some limited bright or hazy sunny spells at times too. There will be mist and fog over hills along some windward coasts, light to moderate southerly breezes. Tonight will be cloudy and humid with patches of mist and drizzle, but overall a lot of dry weather away from western fringes. Another mild night with lowest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees in just light to moderate southerly breezes. Tomorrow will begin mild and cloudy with patches of mist and drizzle, while sunny spells will gradually develop. Some sharp showers will develop in places too. Very mild with highest temperatures of 17 to 20 degrees. Southwest breezes will be just light to moderate. A look back at today's main stories. Police in the north have arrested a 67-year-old man wanted in the Republic to face trial over alleged offences of sexual assault and rape. They were alleged to have happened in County Donegal. He was arrested in the Limavady area on an Irish extradition warrant. A Donegal TD has told the Dáil the government is hoarding over 178 million euro, which is raised through an EU scheme specifically intended to support people struggling with their energy bills. Deputy Piers Doherty asked Minister Helen McEntee why the government is hoarding the money rather than using it for the purpose for which it was intended, which was to provide energy credits and other reliefs. Minister McEntee responded that the government is spending significantly more than that on targeted measures. Deputy Doherty wasn't satisfied with that response. Unions representing ambulance workers have hit out at what they say is disrespect from the HSE over their salary scales and efforts to come to an agreement on pay. SIFT2 and Unite are continuing talks with HSE officials this evening in an attempt to resolve the dispute. Their warning today is the last chance to make progress before 72 hours of industrial action planned for next week. Outside the Labour Court earlier, SIFT2 spokesperson John McCamley said their disappointment with how talks have gone so far. And the need to provide infrastructure to the south of the River Swilly in Letterkenny is being highlighted, with the local councillor saying there is huge scope for development in a balanced way. Councillor Jerry McMonagall believes if the area were zoned for urban development, it would make access to capital funding easier and would meet priorities identified by government and pave the way for more housing. Councillor McMonagall says developing the lands to the south of the Swilly makes sense on every level. And that's all for the newsroom for now. Farming news and views with Chris Ashmore will follow this evening's obituary notices. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, May the 21st. The death has taken place of Noel O'Donnell, Nailers Row, Buncrana. Noel will be reposing at his family home tomorrow from 3 p.m. until 9 p.m. and on Saturday from 12 p.m. until 9 p.m. Funeral from there on Sunday at 10:20 a.m. going to St Mary's Church Cock Hill for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time only on the morning of the funeral. Requiem Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Sally Doohan, Ballybose, Falkara. Remains reposing at Sweeney's Funeral Home, Ballybose, Falkara today until 9:15 p.m. and tomorrow from 4 p.m. until 9:15 p.m. Rosary on both nights at 9:15 p.m. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. in St Fionnan's Church, Fallcarra, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcn.tv. The death has occurred of Harry Callaghan, Sesh O'Neill, Bally Buffet, and formerly Mina Shammer. Reposing at the home of his daughter Kathleen and son-in-law Hugh Doherty, the Moyle, Loddon, Buncrana. Funeral leaving from there on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Sesh O'Neill, interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish YouTube channel. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, directly to Donegal Hospice via their website. The house is strictly private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Margaret McCormick, née Orr, Middletown, Derrybeg, originally from Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at her late residence today until rosary at 8 p.m. House private, please, after the rosary and before the funeral. Funeral Mass will take place tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in the Church of the Sacred Heart Dunluí, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and via MCN Media. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Aras Guidor, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John Joe McCafferty, Glasher Coo, Guidor. His remains are reposing at his home in Glasher Coo with rosary tonight at 9 p.m. House open at all times. A shuttle bus service is operating from Park Joe, Glenay Car Park. Funeral from his home tomorrow for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in Christ the King Church, Garter Hark, with burial afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome along to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Figures just released show that 8,662 applications from Donegal were made under the Basic Income Support for Sustainability, that's the BIS scheme, and other area-based schemes for 2026. The deadline was May the 15th. Cork saw the most applications with almost 12,000, followed by Galway with more than 11,400 and Mayo with 10,823. Now, many people would not be aware of the fact that those who are producing free-range eggs are not getting perhaps as much in terms of a premium for their product as one would expect. The IFA poultry chair is Brendan Soden, and this week he has been highlighting the fact that there is a need for a more realistic premium to be passed back to the producers. So, Brendan, many of us, we buy their eggs, I suppose, predominantly in supermarkets. Some people do buy them from the side of the road. But a lot of people don't realise, obviously, this is a premium product, but the producer not always getting that premium price.
No, that's the problem, Chris. We've done figures there with Chagas and done some research into retail prices and that. And what it turns out now is that most people producing free-range eggs are only receiving about 4 cents a dozen of the premium that the consumer's paying. So it equates to about only 3% of that premium.
Yeah, so that is pretty low. Now, what about the whole market for free-range eggs? Would I be right in saying that it has grown considerably in recent years?
It has, yeah. Look, I'm at free-range eggs for 27 years. I probably would have been one of the, well, in the first wave of people that got into it, and we've seen it grown every year. Now, at the minute, it's around 45.5% there, according to CSO figures, of the total flock in the country. So, it slowed somewhat in the last couple of years, but with the way that the price is going at the minute, or the premium that's there, we could actually start to see that contract. So, there needs to be something done for it.
Now, just explain to people, if you are a free-range egg producer, there are more risks and costs associated with producing them rather than in a barn egg production scenario.
Yeah, look, the housing facilities are the same. But all boards are loose in the house. But the difference of free range is, of course, they're getting out to range in the fields. So you have additional costs there. Well, one, you have the use of your land, but you have, of course, your fencing to keep right and general upkeep outside. So there's extra labour required and extra costs every year to keep that maintained. And then, of course, there's the risk, which we never put in a figure for, because we've had a winter there where we've been looking at worrying about avian flu. And, of course, that's always there in the background, as well as other diseases. So when you have them boards at a range, you're up out on the range, you have yourself open to a lot of different risks.
And for those who are supplying retailers, how does the system work? Is there a contract? Is there a fixed price for a certain time period?
No, we're just basically, we don't have any supply contracts. It's basically just verbal. So there's a price given there for eggs. So it's something that we'd like to see in the future, that you would have a written contract there, giving you a bit of security. It's something that's widely used in the UK. And they had to go down that road to give people more security, because you are investing a lot of money and a lot of time into that. So you want some guarantees for at least a couple of flocks.
Yeah. So the IFA at the moment, what exactly is it calling for? It wants an increase per egg for each free-range egg produced.
Yeah, we're looking. We're currently getting, what, 4 cents for a dozen there, a premium. Like, we're looking for that to be increased up to 2 cents an egg. 24 cents is the ask. So some of that was to cover costs. So the premium would be around 16 cents. And we're asking for that to be put back, because it's not a lot of a premium per egg. When you turn it down, it's about 1.3 cents per egg of a premium. And when you look at other countries, the premiums are a lot larger for that, because they accept that there is a higher level of risk and a higher level of management. So that's what we're basically calling for at the minute, and that the consumer is already paying that premium. We don't expect them to pay any more, but that be passed down the chain, which it seems they've got stuck somewhere in the system and isn't getting down to farm gate level.
Yeah. And at farm gate level, sort of typically, what does a producer receive for a dozen eggs?
Would be the Chagas figures there. On average, we get about 152 per dozen.
Right, so there's a big markup throughout the chain before it lands on the table of many's. What about looking forward, Brendan? Is the level of production in this country and in places like Donegal, is it fairly steady?
Yes, you kind of have the producers there that sat it at the minute. Look, we highlighted there about a month ago, or just before Easter, that there is a shortage of eggs on shop shelves. There has been for probably about 18 months, and we've met with the retailers and we've explained to them why it's there, basically because of the cost of getting into the industry now. It doesn't justify spending the money, and it's leaving very, very tight margins on us. So we explained this to them and we asked that they pass it back, because producers here like to grow their industry, like to keep us, and like to keep producing Irish eggs. We don't become reliant on imports coming into the country when we can produce them here.
And no doubt, like many other sectors, there's been an element of consolidation and a number of bigger players. What about the small producers? Do we still have quite a lot of small producers who are almost doing it as a hobby and producing quite a small amount?
Not so much probably a hobby of that size. There are people out there maybe marketing their own eggs, keeping a couple of hundred boards and marketing that. But it's quite surprising how many people still keep maybe 2,000-3,000 boards. Then people would have been there for the last 30 years at it, and continue to plug along at it. So you still have a lot of them people there. Then you would have smaller packers that maybe they're supplying retail themselves and they're marketing all their own eggs, but they might have maybe 10,000-20,000 boards. So they are on the small side of things when it comes to the industry.
And finally, of course, you do have to be on your toes and alert with the threat of avian influenza and other potential diseases out there, and no doubt that's always a worry.
It's always there in the back of your mind, especially when you get to the winter months. Like the housing order has been lifted there already at the moment, but it's not giving you any certainty that the avian flu has gone away. We've seen last year cases continued in the UK throughout the summer months, though at a lower level, but it was still there. Even though the housing order is lifted, we still have the biosecurity measures and regulations there in place. So everybody, yeah, has to keep on their toes and make sure that things are kept right and you're careful going in and out of your boards just to try and avoid that risk.
And that was IFA Poultry Chair Brendan Soden. In other news, Inishowen and Development Partnership is set to get funding from the Department of Agriculture for its Fit for Farm Life project. Meanwhile, an event called Field for Her Own, Empower the Women of Agriculture, is taking place next Thursday, that's May the 28th, at 11 o'clock at Shannon Porter's Milk Bar in Carrigans. Backed by the IFA and Skillnet, those in attendance will hear stories from women in farming. Topics will include lived farming experiences, succession and stepping into leadership, farm diversity and innovation, and adding value to your farm business. It's a free event and you can register on the IFA website. The IFA will hold three regional meetings in the coming weeks to coincide with the launch of the government's public consultation process on Ireland's draft plan to implement the EU Nature Restoration Law. Well, IFA President Francie Gorman said the implementation of the EU law could have far-reaching consequences for thousands of farmers across the country. The nearest meeting for Donegal farmers will be in the Landmark Hotel in Carrigan-Shannon on June the 4th. And a reminder that the Inish Tractor Run, one of Ireland's biggest tractor runs, will take place on the 31st of May, and we'll have more on that next week. Well, that's it for this week's Farming News and Views. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.